Welcome to the Rock Church Podcast. This is Amanda. We're so glad you're joining us today. We are a church family that exists to love God, love people, and do something about it. If you would like to learn more about us, you can visit us at rockc3.com or head over to your app store and search RockC3 for our app. This week, we are in the fifth week of our series called Verified, and Pastor Josh looks at how, just like Moses, we make excuses all the time. But we can rest in the promise that if God calls us to something, He'll gift us for that thing and see us through it. Enjoy the message.
Well, good morning, Rock Church. How's everybody doing? You guys good? Are you excited to be at church today? Good, good. So that was like this side of the room, all right? I didn't hear you all over here. Are y'all not excited? You okay? All right, because that side was a little louder, and that's a little not normal for 9 o'clock. This is usually my loud side and my quiet side. Y'all are catching up. You're starting to understand this. Good. So, hey, my name's Josh. I'm one of the pastors here, and so I'm going to go over here and preach, all right? So. But anyway, no, seriously, if you are new with us, man, thank you for being here, and hope that you're just having a good time and have seen just in the little bit that we're together that we do like to have a good time at church. We want to be a come-as-you-are environment where you can come in, sit back, enjoy yourself, and connect with a God that matters at the same time. So thank you for being here. I do want to give a shout out because I do know we have some people right now at the C3 Coffee Bar and some people online. So we want to welcome you guys as well. And thank you for being here. And it's going to be a great day. We're gonna dive into episode 5 of this series that we've been calling Verified. And today I'm going to kind of start with just a simple question. All right? And the question is this: what is your favorite excuse? Now, careful, because if you say it out loud, the person next to you might go, yeah, that's what I thought, okay? But we all have them, all right? We all have excuses that we use at different times in our life. I had an old football coach. He used to always say that that excuses are like butts. Everybody has one, and they all stink, okay? Now, that's the PG version of the way he said it, but I'm going to keep it in the PG form, all right? But that's true, because we all have excuses on reasons we don't want to do something. It might be the excuse that we don't want to go out. Maybe somebody asks you to, hey, let's grab dinner tonight, or let's get our families to dinner, and you'll say the excuse of, well, I'm a little busy, or I don't know if I have enough time, or I don't have enough cash in my account right now, or I'm not feeling very well. Maybe it's your excuse that you've used when you've had to break up with somebody. Right? Like that excuse where you say things like, well, let's just be friends, or it's not you, it's, right? Like we'll use those things. Or we'll say, well, it's just not a good season for me to be dating right now. Or you'll go spiritual on somebody and say, God told me that I'm supposed to spend some time on my relationship with Him right now. And all you've done is thrown God under the bus in that, all right? But we'll come up with excuses like, well, I didn't get my homework done because if you're my age, the dog ate it, right? But if you're younger now, it's, well, I forgot to hit save, or the printer ran out of ink, or my Wi-Fi went down. You know, we'll come up with all kinds of excuses. But we'll come up with excuses on why I can't go to church. Like, well, it's a nice day out there. What's that have to do? Or it's raining. Or like I was at baseball practice the other day at Coastal, and one of the coaches there was talking to a player. He's like, I'm gonna see you at this Bible study. And that player, man, he was weaseling his way out. He was doing it. He's like, well, I got homework I gotta do tonight. Understand, the coach who was talking to him was his academic supervisor. So, like, coach, I got to do my homework, remember? Like, you can do your homework. I also got to do laundry. Like, literally, these are all the excuses he is using. And I was helping the brother out. I was like, hey, you could say this also. You know, try this one, right? Because there's all kinds of excuses that we'll use to get out of whatever it is that we're wanting to get out of. And there's all kinds of excuses that we use when we don't want to do something that maybe God is asking us to do. I was talking to our staff this week, and I was like, what are some of the excuses that people use when you ask them to volunteer or to serve at church? And these are the excuses that you all use. Oh, maybe I shouldn't go that harsh. These are the excuses that other people have used at other churches. Is that better? Things like, well, I'm a little too busy, or here's a great one, I got to check my schedule. But then you upsize it by saying, well, I got to check my kid's schedule. Because, you know, like, how do we interfere with the kid? Or we'll say things like this, well, let me think about it. Or we'll do the spiritual filibuster of, let me pray about it. And you know you're not going home and praying about it. You're just trying to tell that staff member, maybe they'll go ask somebody else before they come ask me again. All right? Now, I'm having fun. I'm joking with you. But I think we get it. If we're honest, we make excuses with God. That we feel like God might be calling us to do something, and we'll throw an excuse up like, well, God, I would, but my schedule's a little bit busy. But, or God, I would do this, but I don't know if you got the right person. God, I'd be willing to do that, but do you really know who I am? Do you really know my past? Like, we'll throw these excuses up that will keep us from following the plan that God has in our life. And that's where we're at in this story of Moses. Through this series called Verified, we've just been going through the life of Moses. We've been kind of walking along, doing this biographical digging into his life. We've looked at him when he was a baby. We talked about his first 40 years. We talked about the next 40 years of his life in the desert. Last week, we talked about an encounter that he was having with God that was both amazing and terrifying all at the same time. And we're actually picking up that encounter. It was in this encounter that Moses was staring at a bush that was on fire but wasn't being consumed, and the voice of God was coming from this bush, that God was there, and he said, Moses, I've got a job for you to do. This is actually what it says in Exodus, which is part of the Bible, in Exodus chapter 3, verse 10. It says this, now go, for I am sending you to Pharaoh. You must lead my people Israel out of Egypt. That God, speaking to Moses, says, now go. I've got a specific job for you to do. And I said on week one when we started this series that there are several different ways that God calls you. There are several different things that God, plans that God has for you. One of his plans is what I call the primary plan or the general plan. And is that is for you to enter into a relationship with him. That God's general plan, his primary plan for each and every one of us is for us to be rescued, for us to come back into a relationship with him. His secondary plan for us is for us to follow his will by doing his ways, all right? By doing the things of God. And in episode 2 of the series, that's what we talked about. We talked about the idea that God's secondary plan is for you to simply fulfill his will by living according to his ways. Today, I want us to really talk about the specific plan of God. That God has a very specific thing that he wants each and every one of us to do. All right, so this message is really available for all of us. Now, I'm going to spend a lot of time talking to those of you who have faith. But even if you don't have faith, I want you to recognize that God's general plan or his primary plan and his secondary plan is still something that he's wanting you to walk in. And the things that I bring up today will still affect those, because many of us have faith, yet we'll refuse to do the specific thing that God is asking us to do because we'll use an excuse. And that excuse can be used towards a specific plan, or you'll find yourself using it towards his primary plan for your life as well. It's one of those things that when God asks us to do something, we'll throw up the word, but. That we'll say, but God, I don't know. Again, looking at this verse, I want you to understand that Moses was being called. That God was saying to Moses, I got a very specific plan for you to go back to the Pharaoh and to lead the Israelites out. And what I know and what I believe based upon Scripture is that God has a very specific plan for you as well. That He has a place He wants you to go, and He has people He wants you to lead. Right? Now, I can't tell you exactly who that is. But you can look inward in your life, and you can see the places that God has been challenging you to go. And you can see the people that God has been challenging you to lead. It might be that He's calling you to go to work and lead the person in the cubicle next to you. It might be that He's calling you to go to school and lead your classmate to freedom. It might mean that He's calling you to go to your athletic field or your athletic team and for you to lead the people on your team into a closer walk with Christ. He might be calling you to go home and to lead your family into a deeper walk with Christ, into a life of freedom. He might be calling you to go to your neighbor, the person across the street, or the person to your right, or the person to your left, and lead them towards Christ and lead them towards freedom. He might be calling you to go to an area of ministry inside the church. He might be calling you to go behind a camera or to go to a kid's classroom or to go to the coffee bar and help lead people towards Christ. Again, I don't know exactly where God is calling you. He may be calling you to go around the world or to a whole nother city. I don't know. But chances are you know. Chances are there's something going on in your life right now, and you can understand that, and you can recognize it. My question would be is, are you listening to the voice of God and saying yes, or are you saying no by saying, but what about this, God? Or but what about that? Are you saying no to God by saying but and making a bunch of excuses? See, literally, that's what Moses did. Right? Moses is having an encounter with God. Make sure you visualize what's going on. He is having a face-to-face encounter with the Holy of Holies. He's having a face-to-face encounter with the God of the universe. That God is speaking directly to him from this bush. And you would think if you were hearing the audible voice of God right there, it would be real easy to say, I'm all in. But as Moses was hearing that, he threw up some excuses. The first excuse he threw up is he said this, but I'm inferior because I don't know who I am. Exodus chapter 3, verse 11 says, but Moses protested to God, who am I to appear before Pharaoh? Who am I to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt? That the very first thing that happens when God looks at Moses and says, Moses, I've got a job for you. Moses immediately is like, but God, I don't really know who I am anymore. Now remember who Moses was. That Moses was a guy who for 40 years lived in the Pharaoh's palace. That when he says, but who am I to appear before Pharaoh? The actual answer should be, you're the perfect person because you know where his house is. You know where his bedroom is. You know where his throne is. You know where he hangs out. You know everything that goes on inside the Pharaoh's house. You're the perfect person to go. But what Moses did is like, I can't do that. And then Moses says, and who am I to lead the Israelites out? Well, Moses, you're the perfect person. That you are an Israelite. That you know their heritage. That you know what's going on. And you had the ability when you were there. But in this moment, Moses is sitting there thinking, I've forgotten who I am. Because for 40 years now, he's been wandering around in the desert. For 40 years, he's been tending the sheep. So he's forgotten who it is that God had called him to be when he was even a little baby. Because if you go back, if you were here, if you go back to week one, you remember that Moses was a special baby. That as a child, God knew that he had a calling on his life, just like he does on all of us, all right? That Moses forgot that. And he might have forgot it because he'd been wandering in the desert, or he might have forgot it. He might have forgot who he was because his sin had so entangled his mind. Moses was a murderer. Moses was a guy who killed an Egyptian. So he's probably thinking, well, I can't go before Pharaoh because the last time I was in front of a Pharaoh, he tried to kill me. And I can't go to the Israelites because last time I was in front of the Israelites, they knew that I had killed a man. So my past is keeping me from doing something in the present. And here's reality. I believe that many of us use that as an excuse. that I think many of us, when we feel a prompting by God, a calling from God, when God's got somebody he wants you to go and minister to, go and serve, go and love, that we go, well, who am I? I can't do anything. I'm of no significance. I'm inferior. I don't really matter. And I've got a horrible past. And we won't do in the present what God has called us to do in the present because of our past. And let me just tell you, the easy way around that is don't focus on your past and don't even focus on the present. Focus on his presence. There's the difference. That it's not about focusing on the past. We can't do that. And it's not really even about focusing on the present of going, well, okay, that's behind me. Now I'm here, all right? No, the best thing to do in the present is to focus on his presence, because you can do anything in the present based upon his presence. That's what we see in Scripture. God answered Moses this way. He said, I will be with you, and this is your sign that I am the one who has sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God at this very mountain. He's saying, Moses, I don't want you to be all concerned about your past. I want you to realize in the present, my presence will go with you. And I will go to the past. I will go to the Pharaoh with you. And I will go to the Israelites with you. And then I will lead you into the future. And on this very mountain, as a whole nation, you will worship. So we can't use the excuse of our past, and we can't use the excuse of, well, I don't really know who I am, because what God says is who you are is a child of mine who I am with. And you'd think when Moses heard that, he'd be like, okay, well, maybe I can go. But what he replies with is, well, but I'm still inferior because I just don't know what to say. I don't know how to answer somebody. That I don't know if I'm strong enough, that I matter enough to do this. And look at what it says. But Moses protested. If I go to the people of Israel and tell them, the God of your ancestors has sent me to you, they will ask me, what is his name? Then what should I tell them? That Moses in this moment, he's saying, God, if I go to these people who you are sending me to and they ask me a tough question, I won't know how to answer them, so I can't do it. All right? And let's just be honest right now. For those of you who have faith, the number one thing that I hear constantly from people about why we don't share our faith, why we don't let people know about Christ, is because we say, well, I don't know what I'll say. I don't know how to answer somebody. Especially if they ask me a tough question, like what will I actually get around to? How will I answer somebody? And what I want to do today is I want to kind of just level the playing field. I want to make this just as easy as possible. Because here's what I know, that we cannot allow that excuse to keep us from going where God has called us to go and to rescue people he's called us to rescue. That we've got to go and simply be willing to talk. And he gives us the answer on what to say in the very next verse. Because Moses, throwing this excuse up, is like, well, I don't know what to say. And God says, don't worry about it. I got your back. What you do is you tell him who I am and what I'm doing in your life. Period. It's that simple. When you're going to talk to somebody, you tell them who God is and what he's doing in your life. Look at the verse. It says this. God replied to Moses, I am who I am. Say this to the people of Israel. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel. Yahweh, the God of your ancestors. All right? Let me pause there for a second. And let me pick this verse apart. This is an extremely theological verse. Yet it is also extremely practical and foundational. That we've got to come to a good understanding of what God was saying right here. When God was saying this, and he replied to Moses, I am who I am. That he said, Moses, when you get in front of people, I just want you to tell them who I am. And who I am is I am. Now, this is going to get really grammatically wrong for a second. If you've heard me preach very long, then you know that's normal for me, okay? I thought that would be funnier. Kelly's not sitting here. Usually she's sitting right here. She would have said amen. But anyway, but I am who I am. I want you to understand what that is really doing, what God is really saying right there, all right? In the Hebrew, what the language was originally written in, that's actually a verb that God is saying. And more than saying I am who I am, it's really saying the word is, but to put it in a sentence, it would read like this, that I be who I be. I be who I be. That's what God says. And if you actually take it to another level, to its purest form, you would read it this way. I is who I is. I is who I is. That God, when he's talking to Moses, he says, now Moses, you just go and tell him, I is who I is. I think I could preach like that for a while. That'd be all right. And I know grammatically it doesn't make any sense. But for us, it makes great sense. Because if you go tell somebody, well, who is God? Well, God is who he is. That's who God is. That God is who he is. What was God really getting at there? Well, what he was really saying is that I am the eternal God. That I am the all-knowing God. That I am the God who doesn't have a start point and doesn't have an end point. That whole idea of I be, I is, was showing the eternality of God, the eternal nature, the divine nature of God, that he is eternal, that he is everlasting. This is really important to Moses versus the Pharaoh, because the Pharaoh claimed to be a God. The Pharaoh had convinced everybody in that area that he was a god. Yet the Pharaoh had a born-on date, and he would have a death date. But with God, there is no born-on date. There is no death date. That God has been here from the beginning, that God is here in the middle, and God will be here till the very end because God is eternal. God is who he is. And because that is difficult to understand a little bit, then God said this, well, just tell him my name is Yahweh, which means Lord, all capital letters. It means I am the one in charge. I am the sovereign one. So you go to the Pharaoh who thinks that he's sovereign, who thinks he's in charge, that thinks he's eternal, and you say, well, the God who really is in charge, the one who is really sovereign, and the one who is really eternal, the one who is, that's the God who sent me. And he's come to rescue. And when you see that, what you're really getting at there is this idea. That God is saying, when you go before the Pharaoh, you tell him who I am and what I'm doing. And guys, that same principle holds true to us today. That if you're trying to tell somebody about Christ, if you're trying to go to your neighbor, your classmate, your coworker, you go and you help them be rescued by simply keeping it focused on Jesus. You tell them who Jesus is and what he's done in your life. All right? And the reason I say the word Jesus is because Jesus is the I am. That Jesus is the great I am. That Jesus, when he was on earth, they were questioning him. And they were trying to put him on trial and all that. And then they started asking and asking and asking, are you God? And Jesus said, I am. I am. I am God. So when we go to people, we tell them who he is and what he's done. And what he's done in your life is he saved your life. What he's done in your life is he's given you hope. What he's done in your life is he's brought you through your mess. And you know your story. You know your testimony. So share who Jesus is and what he's done. And you would think, again, Moses would go, okay, all right, I'm ready. But that's not how Moses replies. Moses goes, but I'm still inferior because I just don't have the influence. Like if this was 2019, Moses would say, well, I'm inferior because I don't have enough followers on Instagram, that I don't have that verified badge on my account, that I don't have thousands and thousands of people follow me, so I don't have the influence. Look at what the scripture says. But Moses protested again. What if they won't believe me or listen to me? What if they say, the Lord never appeared to you? Then the Lord asked him, what is that in your hand? Well, a shepherd's staff, Moses replied. And then let me tell you the rest of the story. It says this, that God said, well, take that staff and throw it down to the ground. And when he threw it down to the ground, immediately it turned into a snake. All right, now, if that was me, I would have been like, pow! You know what I mean? Like, I would have shot the snake immediately because to me, snakes, Satan, one in the same. Amen? All right. And if you disagree with that, me on that, then I might have to challenge your spirituality, okay? But anyway, like Moses throws his staff down and it turns into a snake, and again, like, that would freak me out. But then God says, when I reach down and pick it up, I'll be like, now I'm going to say, but God, okay? But Moses reaches down and he picks it up and turns right back into a staff. And he says, now take your hand and put it in your cloak. So he puts it in his cloak and he pulls it out. It's full of leprosy. Again, I'd freak out. God says, Moses, stick it back in your cloak. He puts it back in, pulls it out. Again, it's normal. His skin is normal. Well, God was showing Moses, he's like, Moses, I don't need your influence. I need you. I need you. I need you to go where I'm calling you to go, and I'll do the work. That God was saying, Moses, you've got me. And because you've got me, then I'm going to do the work and influence the people. And guys, that's a major thing that we've all got to understand when it comes to going and doing the will of God. Because so many times, especially when we think that it's about helping somebody come to Christ, we'll be like, well, I got to say all the right words, I got to do all the right stuff, and I got to make sure that they're convicted and that they get it and all that. No, you don't. You do your part. Trust God to do his part, and then allow them to do their part. And guys, it took me years of ministry to realize that. I used to have ulcers like crazy my first 10 years of ministry because I thought it was my job to save people. And it's not. I love what I get to do for a living. I love that God has called me to preach his word. I love that that's what I get to do each weekend here at The Rock, all right? But it's not my job to convince you of anything. That's God's job. It's God's job to work on your heart. It's my job to go and do what God's told me to do. It's your job to follow God. It's God's job to convict. And if we would all come to understand that when you're going to school, you're going to work, you're going to your neighbors, it would relieve the tension and the stress because you would say, I'm just doing my job and my job needs to be done. I got to move on. But because Moses goes into one more excuse. He says this, but I'm inferior because I don't have the gifts. But Moses pleaded with the Lord, oh, Lord, I'm not very good with words. I never have been, and I'm not now. Even though you have spoken to me, I get tongue-tied, and my words get tangled. That I love this part of it, that Moses throws out the excuse, but I'm not gifted. But I don't have the gifts to go and do that. All right, now, I have to be careful, because I know on this one that all of us have used this excuse in life. That we've all used this excuse when it comes to God. That God's like, hey, I want you to go do this. You're like, but I don't have that gift. I need you to start giving, but God, I don't have that gift. I need you to go talk to this person, but God, I don't have that gift. I need you to go serve in this area, but God, I don't have that gift. And we will use this excuse of I'm not gifted. But last time I checked, when I read this verse, what we find is Moses giving an excuse that I'm not gifted, but God giving the answer, you're not, the gifts don't come from you, the gifts come from me. So if I've called you to something, I'll gift you for it. Look at this part of the verse, it says this, then the Lord asked Moses, who makes a person's mouth? Who decides whether people speak or do not speak, hear or do not hear, see or do not see? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will be with you as you speak, and I will instruct you on what to say. That Moses is sitting there saying, but I get tongue-tied, but I don't have it all together. There's no way I can do it, that I'm not very good with speech, which I find interesting. Because it either means, one, he was just had no confidence. Because later on in the Bible, a guy named Stephen says that Moses was very powerful in speech. Now remember that Moses was in the palace, that Moses led people. So either he was really good at speech but had no confidence in it and was using it as an excuse, or that he did get tongue-tied, that he did get nervous in front of people, yet God in that moment gifted him to be able to communicate. Either way, we know this, that God gave him a gift to be able to communicate. And what God is saying to Moses in this moment is like, listen, I'm the one who's going to open your mouth. I'm the one who's going to do the work. I know for me, that's a very personal verse. If you know my story, when I was born 100% deaf. And I didn't get my hearing until I was 2 years of age after a couple surgeries. And the surgeries weren't to fix the hearing. The doctor said I would forever be deaf. But all of a sudden, right before I turned two, my hearing came. All right? And I would call that a miracle of God because he had a calling on my life. That I couldn't do what I'm doing now, meaning preaching with words, if I had been deaf. But God had a calling. All right, that God said, this is what I have for Josh, and this is what I want him to do. So God gifted the way he needed to gift it. Now, when that gifting comes, it doesn't mean that it's going to be easy. Guys, I will tell you, for my first several years of life, and maybe even up till now, I still have a hard time speaking certain words. All right, and when I was young, I couldn't say an S to save my life. I was going through all kinds of speech therapy in elementary school. My brother knew it and made fun of me all the time and would pick on me. And then I'd look at him and I'd say, top it, Jack, just top it. Why are you laughing? But you get what I'm at. That it was a struggle. But again, this is what I know, that if God calls you to it, he'll gift you for it and he'll see you through it. Whatever God has called you to, he will gift you for, and he'll see you through. So let's quit making excuses. Let's quit making excuses. And let's understand, let's confirm the calling of God that he has on your life. And you know it. He's speaking it. And now what we have to do is, rather than push it off, rather than ignore it, rather than excuse it, we just simply need to say yes to God and do it. So that's really the question that I kind of leave you with this morning as we're going in this time of response. And it's simply this, is how will you respond? How will you respond to the calling of God? How will you answer what he's saying in your life? And I would love to say at this point, Moses is like, yes, God, okay, you got it. You got all my excuses. They ain't worth anything. They all stink. I'm in. But this is how Moses replies. The very next verse, verse 13. But Moses again pleaded, Lord, please send anyone else. And how sad that is. Now, eventually Moses went, but how sad is it that after all that face-to-face encounter with God, Moses is like, but please send someone else. And here's what I believe. We live in a community where there are people that are far from God. And we need to do everything we can to follow God's specific call on each and every one of our lives to go and reach the people he's put in your circle of influence. To do that, I'd say no more buts. No more buts. No more looking at God saying, but God, I... Just say yes to God. Maybe it's to your coworker, your neighbor, your classmate. And you've been saying, but God, there's no way. I know when I walked into church, a youth minister looked at me. He told me this later. He said, there's no way we'll save that one. I'm so thankful that he might have thought it, but he didn't let it keep him from ministering. Don't make an excuse. Just say yes. Just say yes to God. Because he's got a specific calling on your life. He's going to gift you for it. and he'll see you through it. So say yes. So say yes and start serving, start ministering, start going, start leading people out of darkness. Or maybe, let me back up to the very beginning, maybe it's that secondary calling. Maybe you've been doing some things in your life and you know are not the way of God. And you've been making excuses for your addiction. You've been making excuses for your anger. You've been making excuses for your lust. You've been making excuses for whatever it is. Maybe today's the day you say, no more excuses. I'm saying yes to God. Or maybe it's all the way back to that primary calling. Where you've been saying to God, well, maybe I don't know enough to give my life to Christ, or maybe I don't know enough to get baptized, or maybe I don't, I'm too dirty, I'm too messed up, I've got too much of a past for Jesus to be able to save me. No. No more buts. Just say yes. As we go into this time of response, let's say yes. If you want to do that through communion, you want to do it through the going and just praying and spending some time with Jesus, you want to get baptized today, it can happen. You want to talk to somebody about praying and receiving Christ as your Savior? This morning is the day to say yes. No more buts. Let's say yes to God. I want you to do me a favor. Let's stand up. I'm going to pray. And we're going to spend some time responding. Jesus, I come before you. And I ask you during this time, God, that you would just move, and you would move in a mighty way. And Lord, I pray right now that whatever excuse we've been using that has been keeping us from you, whatever excuse we've been using that is keeping us from surrendering to you, from following you, from answering your call, God, this morning, I pray that each and every one of us would recognize it. I pray that you would keep just hounding us and keep asking us like you did Moses, and that today we would say yes to you. In your name, Jesus, amen.
Thank you so much for joining us today. If you'd like information on how to give to God through The Rock, you can find that on our app or on our website. Another way you can give to us is simply by rating this podcast, subscribing to it, telling your friends about it. All of those things are super helpful. We hope you have a great week.